Chapter 11. Jesse called the chief of police in Wellington after Ellen Shannon left. Told him he was working a homicide and that the victim was someone who'd worked with horses there. The chief asked if he had a name, and not for any of the horses. Jesse said all he had was a first name.
That ought to narrow things down considerable, the chief said. You and me working together, we'll probably crack the case no problem.
His name was Ed Johnson. It was a southern accent, but one that Jesse thought could have come from anywhere south of Baltimore. Johnson said he'd be happy as a pig in slop to help out any way he could. He asked Jesse how many people lived in his town. Jesse told him. He asked Jesse how many he had on his force. Jesse told him. Chief Ed Johnson told him he had 8 cops on his force, 9 counting himself.
It's like we're in a special club of small-town policing, he said to Jesse. We should have decoder rings and a secret handshake.
Then he told Jesse that there were a pantload of barns in Wellington. But a lot of them were empty in the summer, the owners and the trainers and the grooms traveling to shows around the country and as far away as Canada. But he could probably wrestle up a list. Jesse said he'd be grateful.
You fixing on coming down here? Johnson said.
Thinking about it, Jesse said. You find an app yet that solves this shit for you?
Still looking, Johnson said.
Think there's any kind of app better than you? Jesse said.
Fuck no, Johnson said. Where'd be the fun in that?
You ever do cop work anyplace except where you are? Jesse asked.
SID in Miami, Johnson said. Did a full 20.
You miss it? Johnson snorted.
Depends on the humidity, and whether another one of those El Chapos has shot up another El Fuckhead.
He said he'd send along a list in the morning. Jesse thanked him. Johnson said to give him a shout if he came down. He'd buy Jesse a drink. Jesse said he'd like that. It was easier that way. Not everybody wanted to hear his life story. Before Jesse left the office, he stopped by Molly Crane's desk. I've been forgetting to ask, he said. How you doing with your friend Annie? She ready to come by and talk to me? Molly shook her head. I think she's sorry she even talked about it with me, she said. She basically just wants to forget it ever happened. She says she hasn't touched a drink since Saturday night. Who knows, maybe she'll end up going to meetings with you. Keep trying, Jesse said, before this guy tries again, or does more than try.
Yes, boss.
Jesse smiled at her. You ever wonder which one of us is really the boss of this place? She smiled, even more wickedly than usual.
I never wonder, actually, she said.
Jesse thought about calling Sunny when he got home. Even thought about asking her if she wanted to make a quick road trip to Florida with him. But he did not. He wanted to give himself some quiet time to think about what Ellen Shannon had told him. Ellen, the smoking hot bartender. He didn't remember many who looked like her when he was still drinking at happy hour or any hour. But then, Jesse had never been a happy drunk. Just a drunk.
Buy you a drink, the chief in Wellington had said.
I'd like that, Jesse had said. He baked a small swordfish steak he'd bought at the fish market off Geary Street. Green beans on the side, sprinkled with some Parmesan. Fixed himself a small salad. He used to eat out a lot more, but that had meant a drink before dinner and then maybe some wine during. Maybe a scotch for dessert, and not just one. He was better off at home now, getting better at cooking for himself. When he finished eating, he washed the dishes by hand, brewed some coffee, stayed at the table. He still didn't have a last name for his victim, but he had an occupation. He had a bar in Wellington, Florida. If Ellen knew him, maybe some of the other bartenders did. Maybe they had a last name. Jesse had a yellow legal pad in front of him. The pads always helped him think better. He wrote, Why? Why was Paul in paradise? Why the stop at Whit and Lily Kane's home? Whit Kane spent a lot of time in the same part of Florida. Did the Canes own horses? Lily had never mentioned it if they did. If he didn't fly to Florida, he could stop by and ask. But horses would make sense as a hobby for a wealthy man. Jesse had seen a piece on SportsCenter one time, just wanting ball scores, about how Springsteen's daughter was a rider and had even gone to the Olympics. Jesse looked at his watch. It was still just 9 o'clock, too soon for bed. The rest of the night stretched out in front of him. The faint hum of the air conditioner was almost impossible for him to hear, as if drowned out by the quiet of this place. His new home, the one without a bottle of scotch in it. He didn't want to drink tonight as much as he wanted something to happen. Maybe needed something to happen. Maybe that was why he was thinking of going to Florida. He had a travel budget, one he hardly ever used. Nora Hayes, big boss at the Board of Selectmen now, had even kicked in more money this year. Molly said Nora probably thought of it as a tip. Nobody would complain about him spending the money to go down there if it helped him clear a murder in the middle of the summer season. He took his coffee cup and turned on the television and put on the Red Sox game. It wasn't that he felt like watching the game as much as the sudden urge he had to drown out the quiet around him. As if he were asking the announcers Dave O'Brien and Jerry Remy and Dennis Eckersley if they'd mind keeping him company. But he couldn't focus on the game. He was impatient with his lack of progress. Even though he'd made minor progress today, he felt as if he were missing something. Now he wanted a drink. He walked over to the table next to the Ozzie Smith poster where he kept the glove he'd worn in the minors. He'd had it restitched a few times and still used it for softball, even though it was an infielder's glove that was really too small for softball. He used it anyway, maybe because of vanity. Probably because of vanity. And memory, a way of reminding them, reminding himself, that he'd been a real ballplayer once. The new glove, the one Cole had bought for him, didn't feel like this on his hand. Jesse knew it never would. The signed Ozzie ball was in the pocket. Jesse took the ball and glove with him out onto the terrace. He felt the ocean breeze on his face immediately, sensed the vast and powerful expanse of it out past Lighthouse Point, a few lights from big boats in the distance. There were clouds tonight, a lot of them. Jesse had heard on the car radio on the way home that a late storm had been forecast sometime before midnight. He began to toss the ball into the pocket of the glove. Better a ball in his hand than a drink. He was thinking about the Canes again. What possible connection Paul could have had to them? Throwing the ball harder now into the glove, the sound as sweet and familiar as the crack of the bat. There was a sudden bright flash of lightning out over the water now. The attendant an immediate clap of thunder to go with it, startling him. Jesse didn't close the glove in time, and the ball fell to his feet. Error shortstop, he said, E6. It was when he was turning to reach down for the ball that he heard another sharp explosion in the night sky. For a moment, less than that, Jesse processed it as another part of the storm over the water. Then the bullet caught up with the sound of a gun having been fired and shattered the glass in the door behind him.